Are you slaved or saved? Or are you saved or slaved? Which are you? Anyway, Sandy, you ready? Let's listen to Brother E.C. Moore. Here's Brother Moore.
Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for watching this morning. Will you turn your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 6? I appreciate you watching every morning. I'd love to hear from you. If you appreciate the Bible study, I'd love to hear from you. And even if you don't appreciate it, I'd still be glad to hear from you. This morning, we want to continue in our study pertaining to right and dividing the word of truth. And we're discussing the things that are. And as I've got it on the board up here, the time of grace. God Almighty dealing with the world, and the time of grace. He's dealing with you today based upon His grace, having to do with the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that God raised Him to the dead. But the time to come is a time of judgment, and God Almighty is going to deal with men according to their works in that age. Salvation over here is by grace through faith. Salvation over here is by faith through works. The man over here not only has to believe in the Lord, but he has to prove that he believes in the Lord by the works that he does. We don't work for our salvation over here. In the age we live in now, we depend upon the work that Jesus Christ did at Calvary. And even though it is good to exalt good works in front of people today, it's good to do good in front of men today if you're saved. And yet, that's not a proof of your salvation. The proof of your salvation has to do with your testimony. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And the Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so if I knew a man, and that man had a clear, straightforward testimony of his faith in Christ, believing that Jesus Christ died for his sins, was buried, and rose again, then I'd put a lot more confidence in him as a child of God than one who never sinned and always did all these good things and everything, and yet had no testimony pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we look back to the cross. We live in a time of grace. God's being gracious to us today, having given his Son at Calvary to die for our sins. But on the other side of the line that I have here, which represents the rapture of the church, on the other side, the time of judgment is called the wrath of God. Now, in John chapter 3, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it talks about him down through the passage there. Verse 5, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Then God's wrath is going to come down. It's going to come on this world. God's wrath is going to fall on this world. There's a day time, a day coming that God's going to say, it's enough. I've had enough of this. The long-suffering of God is going to end. And God's wrath is going to fall. Now, in Revelation chapter 6, notice in verse 12, and I beheld when it opened the sixth seal, and lo, the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and ever an island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. By the way, you might observe in that passage that before the Lord Jesus Christ comes to establish his kingdom on this earth again, there will be slavery. The Bible said bond man and free men. So that'd be slavery. God Almighty sees slavery in the future. Verse 16, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Well then, there's no doubt about it. The wrath of God's going to fall one of these days. The wrath of God's going to come down, And men are going to seek death in that day, and the Bible said they're not going to be able to find it. The Bible is clear that when God turns his wrath loose on this earth, there are going to be men that are probably going to try to kill themselves. And the pain that they inflict upon themselves is going to be intense, and yet they're not going to die. They're going to seek death, but they can't find it. Why? Because God Almighty is going to judge them. Now, how about the church? How about the body of Christ? Turn, please, to Galatians chapter 1. What's God going to do about us that believe on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? How about us that are saved by His grace? What are we saved from? Well, we're saved from the wrath to come. That's clear in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. God hath delivered us from the wrath to come. We're delivered by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus Christ died for our sins, believing that He was buried and that He rose again. You understand something here. The time that we're referring to in the future is a time of judgment. It's a time when God Almighty is going to judge men on this earth. It's a time when God Almighty is going to judge the nations on this earth, and it's a time when God Almighty is going to judge the nation Israel on this earth. But how about during this age of grace? God Almighty not judging men today. God judged His Son, Jesus Christ, back here in behalf of all that believe in Him as the Lord and Savior. I think about back years ago going in the bank to borrow money. And when I'd borrow that money and tell the banker what I wanted that money for and everything, and he'd set up a thing for me to pay it back. And I remember now that Mr. Brunson used to say to me, the payment is due on such and such a day of such and such a month. And I might say, but Mr. Brunson, the banker, Mr. Brunson, what if there comes a bad time in my life? What if there's something happens and I can't make that payment exactly on the date that is supposed to be? And Mr. Brunson used to say, well, you've got a 10-day grace period. In other words, if the money came due, I was supposed to carry the money in at the 10th of the month, then I'd have 10 days of special favor from the bank before their wrath fell on me. Before they took away from me everything that I had, I would have a period of grace that they wouldn't bother me. And that's what God Almighty did for the world. The Bible said that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto...
Okay, Jim left the room. Well, I don't really believe that he was raptured, because this room would have very few people. Like the majority of the people in this room, if the rapture had occurred, we'd be sitting right there with him. And we're all going to go together. So it'd be one great big heading towards the sky. Can't y'all just see Jim scrambling and pushing them buttons and trying to get that connection to work? Don't pay the ransom, BR. They're going to let him go in a minute. You know how people run from the truth, and if he's been kidnapped, he'll be there. They'll let him go. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, sorry about the interruption, guys. There's something weird going on at Black Gulch today. Okay, can y'all hear me okay now? Mic test. All right, so there's something. I saw a new telephone man up to the post office this morning, so he's probably playing with the telephone lines. You know, untwisting the pair and twisting a different pair together and, you know, just keeping me on my toes. Anyway. All right. Yeah, don't pay the ransom. I escaped. Okay, I'm just going to dart right back in there. I backed it up a ground or two. And you won't have missed anything. All right? So buckle up. Here we go. Here's Brother Moore.
And that's what God Almighty did for the world. The Bible said that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. What am I talking about? I'm talking about that in AD 33, it's as if God Almighty said, I've got enough of this. I've tolerated this enough. The Bible said that there's none that was good, no, not one. The Bible said there wasn't a just person on earth that did good and sinned not. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so God gave the law to Israel back there. And after 1,500 years of keeping the law, claiming to keep the law, the Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. So after all that time, God said, I'm not going to tolerate this any longer. But he made provision for the world. He sent his Son into this world to die for this world. Jesus Christ came into this world and God judged his Son in your behalf. He found you guilty in Christ. Jesus Christ became a criminal for you. He became sin for you. He went to Calvary for you, and God Almighty poured out his wrath upon his Son in order that he might set apart a time of grace before the world would come up for judgment. And the world is coming up for judgment. The payment's got to be made. The wages of sin is death. The wrath of God is going to fall. God is angry with the sinners. But you know, he's withheld his anger in this age between the cross and the rapture of the church. As long as the church, which is the body of Christ, is here, God's wrath won't fall. And there might be somebody listening to my voice right now, and you're always talking about the Bible thumpers. You're always talking about them people out there on the street corner, and they're yelling at people as they stop at the red light, you know, and all that kind of business. They got their Bible out there, and they're yelling, repent. They're yelling, trust Christ, your Lord and Savior. They're yelling, unless you get saved, you're going to hell, and on and on. And there's some of you rolling up your windows, you know, and you get all nervous and frustrated in there and all hot and bothered. You think something ought to be done about it. Well, I got news for you. If God Almighty ever removes us, we that are always opening up the Bible and showing you what to do to be saved, we that are always talking about your salvation, we that are always talking about where you're going if you die, if God ever removes us, you...
Well, I might have to take back my accusation against the phone man. It might be pal talk. Could be pal talk. Instead of my local phone company. Yep, I'm thinking that way myself, Jackie. Yeah, I understand, Cindy. All right. Well, we'll go again. Sorry about the interruptions, guys. This is a good study. Thanks everybody for hanging in here. Yeah, I saw that, BR. But you see, I'm on the wagon. I'm not buying any Pepsi. Maybe the tomato juice, man. Maybe the grape juice pet. I don't know. Yeah, I'm on juice. I'm on the juice, there, Susan. All right, here we go. Here's Brother Moore again.
I mean, when the Lord takes the church, which is the body of Christ, out, the Bible said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that he'd send you strong delusion, and you'd believe a lie and be damned because you believe not the love of the truth that you might be saved. You that have heard the gospel of Christ in here and never received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, are going to be given what you've been wanting. You want somebody that you can bow down to. Well, God Almighty is going to send you a man, and that man's called the Antichrist. He's called the man of sin, the son of perdition. And that man's going to come into this world, and the world's going to bow down before him. He's going to come in this world making the sign of the cross and throwing holy water all over everything and doing his things in front of men. And men going to bow and kiss his ring, and they're going to bow before that man. And God is going to use that man, which is called the lie, and send you a strong delusion. You'll believe a lie and be damned. Why? because you believe not the love of the truth that you might be saved. You wouldn't receive Jesus Christ and know that you might be saved out of this world. You rejected Jesus Christ for your traditions. You rejected Jesus Christ for your Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, and whatever traditions. Your religious system has meant more to you than the death of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Instead of humbling yourself before the mighty hand of Almighty God and believing God when He said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Instead of believing, I mean totally, completely trust Him as your Lord and Savior, you've trusted the system. Your mom and daddy believed it, and your grandma and your granddaddy believed it, and your relatives and your friends, everybody believed it, and you said it.
Well, I know what it is. I figured out what it is. Pal talk is clogged. They've got it clogged with bad doctrine. That's what's going on. That's what's happening. I'm sure of it now. All right. Let's try it again.
The Catholic and Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian churches and the Pentecostals and whatever, they never died for your sins. They never gave the sacrifice for sin. Jesus Christ is the sacrifice that God gave for your sin. And God is satisfied with what His Son did at Calvary in your behalf. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You see, if you believe that Jesus Christ died for part of your sins, and you've got to work the rest of it out, you've got to live a perfect life now in order to get out of this world, then you haven't trusted Christ. You see, Jesus Christ died for all your sins.
So, good morning, you fellows in a ship, you fellowship people. Good to see you guys. I guess, Jim, you're having trouble today? Hey, Tommy, how you doing? Susan? Great Greens. Hey, Mel, good to see you in the room again. Boat people. Well, we're fellows in a ship. We have fellowship. Yeah, y'all see me now. Woo! Well, you can all hear me now. Now you can't see me. Train riders, too, yeah. Hey, Grace Saved Heathen, hi. How you doing? Good to see you. It's good to see everybody. What'd I miss? Are you saved or slaved? E.C. Moore. Did we get to that one today, Jim? I do enjoy the questions and cool in five parts. Been trying. Hey, you Cap. Hey, Delta. Elaine. Gosh, everybody. Insty. All my favorite people and some new ones we're meeting. Welcome in, everybody. It's good to see a good group in here. I'm done gabulating.
In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. Hebrews 10, verse 11. Now, believe your Bible. Hebrews 10, verse 11 says, and every priest standeth daily, ministering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Now, you go to a church, you got a priest, and they offer sacrifices? Well, these priests stand daily, and they offer sacrifices that can never take away sins. That's what the passage says. Say, but Brother Lord, ain't talking about that. Well, it said every priest. You know one that's called a priest? Every priest. Do you have a priest? Every priest standeth daily, ministering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. He can't help you. There ain't a thing in this world He can do for you. Jesus Christ paid the sacrifice. Turn, please, to 1 Timothy. Look in 1 Timothy. You know, we're just going to believe the Bible even though it hurts. We're just going to believe it means exactly what it says. But I don't understand it, Brother Long. You'll never have to give an account to God for something you couldn't understand. But you're sure going to have to give an account for God for the things you wouldn't believe. So we're just going to believe. Whether we understand it or not, we're just going to believe His Word. in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4, oh, I have all men to be saved. In other words, God's will is that you be saved. God's will is that you come to Him through Christ. God's will is that you trust Christ, your Lord and Savior, and be saved. God Almighty doesn't want you to be lost. God Almighty doesn't want you to end up in hell. God Almighty is not longing for the day that He can pour out His wrath on you. God doesn't long for the day that He can give you a strong delusion so that you believe a lie and be damned. God doesn't want that. God wants you saved. But there's some religious people in this world that want you saved. They want you under their bondage. They want you to be not saved, but slaved. They want you a slave in their religious system so they can use you. Verse 4, reference to God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. That's all men without distinction of race, creed, or color. Doesn't make any difference who you are, where you've been, what you were doing while you're there. God Almighty gave Jesus to die for you. It matters not what your moral character is. The moral character of humanity in this world today is all the same. Ain't none the difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There aren't any good. And I mean, that's from the Pope on the throne until the lowest peon out there. There aren't any that are good. All have sinned and come short of the glory. None good, no, not one. Not a just person on earth that doeth good and sinning not. All are sinners. God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. What is the truth? Well, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, the truth is the gospel of your salvation. What is the gospel of your salvation? It's that Jesus Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again. What is the gospel of Christ? It's that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again. It's that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What gospel did the Apostle Paul believe? Well, he believed that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe the truth. What is the truth? Christ died for our sins, and that He was buried and that He rose again. That's simple. Anybody that wanted to could believe that. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. No mediatrix. There's just one God. There's no other God. God our Father, beside Him there is no God. There is no God that can save you. There is no God that can bless you. There is only one God, and He's the Creator of heaven and earth, and His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is that He's gone away, and according to 1 Timothy chapter 6, He's in a place where no man can enter into today. Can't be. There's just one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's only one man by which you can come to God. You can't come to God through E.C. Moore. You can't come to God through the Pope. You can't come to God through the priest. You can't come to God through the preacher. You can't come to God through the evangelist. There's only one means whereby you can get to God. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There is no other way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. You can get to the Father. You can get to God if you'll go by Jesus Christ. If you'll go through Christ. If you'll trust Him as your Lord and Savior, you can get to God. No other way. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and look at verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all men, to be testified in due time. The all in that passage is all without exception. Jesus Christ gave Himself a ransom for all. That includes you. Every man, woman, and child. Jesus Christ gave Himself a ransom for you. Jesus Christ went to Calvary for you. Jesus Christ gave Himself up. God Almighty delivered up His Son for you. And Jesus Christ gave Himself up, surrendered to the cross. He surrendered to the spitting and to the shame and the degradation of the cross. The cross is made for a criminal, and Jesus Christ took it for you. You know, people have a weird idea today about what love is. I watch these televangelists. I see them as they stand looking at that camera, and they cry, you know. They shed them big old crocodile tears, and they distort their faces, you know, and carry on. I see all that stuff. But what they going to do for you? You know, somebody might say, well, Brother Noor, you're not a very kind-hearted individual. What do you care about whether I'm kind-hearted or not? Hey, I never died for you. Why, if I died for you, it wouldn't solve anything for you. If I gave my life for you, it wouldn't solve anything for you. I'm not trying to show you the kindness of E.C. Moore. I'm not trying to show you the love of E.C. Moore. I'm trying to show you the love of God. I'm trying to show you the kindness of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. My Lord and Savior, which Jesus Christ gave himself for you at Calvary. He died for your filthy, sick, and rotten sins. Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried, and God raised him from the dead that you, even you, can be saved if you trust him. People have a weird idea about what love is. Why, there's some people on television today, and there's some people in the pulpits that are speaking sweet, kindly words unto you. They don't love you. Well, the Bible said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Any man that loved you would tell you about God. Any man that loves you will tell you about Christ. Any man that loves you will never tell you wrong. Any man that loves you will rightly divide the word of truth. Any man that loves you will love the book. We're not talking about the ASV, RSV, Moffat, Williams, New English, the NIV, and all the rest of the stuff the religious system put out they call Bibles. We're talking about 1611 King James Bible. If a man really loved you, he'd preach the Word of God to you. Jesus Christ gave himself for you. There's only one mediator by which you can get to God, and that's Jesus Christ. You can come to God today. You can come to God right now through Jesus Christ. That's right. You can trust him right now. He died for your sins. Why, the Bible said that God made him to be your sin. God Almighty took your sins from your life here and transferred them to the cross when Jesus Christ went to Calvary. And when God looked on that cross in A.D. 33, he saw your sins there. The Bible said that he became sin for us. God saw every bad thing you are on the cross, and it is deplorable. And the Bible said that he turned his back upon his son. And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God Almighty forsook his son at Calvary because he had your sins upon him. And so God turned his back, and so that ought to tell you something. If you don't have Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, what's God going to do to you? Well, he's going to turn his back on you. But if you trust him as your Savior, if you claim him, will you right now bow your head and ask him to save you? The Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Will you claim him as your Savior right now? If you'll claim Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, then God Almighty assures you by his holy word that he'll catch you out of this world through the Lord, and you'll miss the wrath that's coming on this world when God judges this world in righteousness. Why don't you claim him right now? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I thank you for listening today. Good day.